I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Brutal loss for the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Absolutely brutal loss. 17-point halftime lead they had in that one. They had the lead going into the fourth quarter. And get this, if you didn't know, the Cavs were 40-0. With a lead going into the fourth quarter this year until last night. 40-0. I mean, I think really what that tells you is how good LeBron has been in fourth quarters, just shutting the door on the opposition. But it also shows that this was bad for the Cavs last night. And it was so bad that it changed my tune. Usually a half a basketball isn't going to change my tune. And this game did it twice. Because if you're looking at this series, the Cavs and the Pacers, after game one, I'm thinking to myself, all right, the Pacers looked a lot quicker to the basketball. They looked a lot faster out on the court. But the Cavs played a bad combination of players to start the game. Jeff Green shouldn't have been starting. And with Jeff Green starting, the Pacers could hide Miles Turner on him defensively, and that allowed them to match up better. Plus, the Cavs missed a bunch of threes. Let's see what happens in game two. And then in game two, it took a Herculean effort from LeBron. I mean, we got LeBron in kill mode in game two from the jump, where he came in saying, all right, I'm going to win this game for us. And he basically had to win the game for the team. And 46 points and whatever the other stats were. And it was a close game. It was a close game. And much like game one, I could come away with two different takes. One would be the obvious. Wow, the Cavs needed all that from LeBron and only won by 3 points. And then the other is they switched their starting lineup, which was a smart move. Probably put their best combination of players in. And this says maybe what you need to know about the Cavs roster overall, that their best combination of players is probably George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, LeBron, and Kevin Love. But that lineup smoked the Pacers in game two. Just didn't play much together because George Hill got hurt and was in foul trouble. So then there's last night. And going into last night, I was wondering, all right, are the Cavs going to get ran here in Indy, or are they going to assert some form of dominance that they figured out, they settled into the series a bit? And it appeared that the answer was the latter. Because after the first half, I have to be honest, I thought the series was over. You know, they were trapping Oladipo. The Pacers looked like they didn't know what to do. The Cavs have played good defense in this series. You know, their weakness all year has been their defense more than anything, and their defense has actually been good in this series. Indiana hasn't cracked 100 points yet in any game. So they're playing real defense in that first half. And offensively, LeBron was operating in space, surrounded by shooters, and the Cavs were humming. They went up 17. I thought, this game's over. They figured them out, and this series might be over. And then there's the second half, where the Cavs took their foot off the gas a bit. The Pacers made some nice in-game adjustments. Because the Cavs had, look, there's been some adjustments in this series. Ty Lue changed the starting lineup after game one. I give him credit for not being stubborn. He changed the starting lineup so that they couldn't just play off Jeff Green and pack the paint. And Rodney Hood has been not very good for the Cavaliers. He was removed from the starting lineup as well. So I give Lue credit for that. And he also had a nice game plan going into game three with the hard blitzes on Oladipo, get the ball out of his hands, make other guys play make. Oladipo turned it over a bunch. The other guys were struggling. Nate McMillan made a halftime adjustment in game three from the blitzing and basically said, all right, Victor Oladipo, get the ball out of your hands quickly, and everybody else make plays with the advantage. Because, of course, if you're blitzing, what does that do? There's only five guys on a basketball court. If two of them are on one, that means the other guys have an advantage. You know, it's similar to what the Cavs used to do to Steph Curry. And, in fact, it was effective, relatively speaking, against Steph Curry. And now, obviously, Steph is a better player than Oladipo and a more dangerous player, and you have to even bring the traps and the blitzes higher because of Steph's shooting. But the strategy was similar. And what Steph Curry never got credit for when people were watching those games and weren't really understanding what was happening is just making the simple, smart pass out of those traps. He was never trying to do too much. They would trap, he would get rid of the ball, and let the rest of the guys play. That's not an ego at play there. That's just smart. And you saw that happen with the Pacers in the second half last night, where Oladipo just got rid of the ball and other guys were able to do stuff, particularly Bojan Bogdanović, who was tremendous last night. He had a tremendous game last night. And I remember when he was on the Brooklyn Nets, you know, I liked him watching him a little bit overseas, but I kind of gave up on him in Brooklyn. You know, he had an opportunity there. He didn't really seize it, and I thought, all right, if he can't do it in that role with them rooting for him, he's not going to do it. But sometimes it takes guys a little while to adjust to the NBA game. You never know what's going on there, the situation, all that. And Bogdanović has been very good in this series. He was awesome last night, 30 points, some big threes for them. And he played great D on LeBron. Now, that's the only guy you got to play D on, basically. I think LeBron was the only Cav to score from somewhere like 10 minutes left to 1 minute left in the fourth quarter for Cleveland to try and get them back in after they squandered a 17-point lead and then we're in a deficit. A brutal loss for the Cavs. And the kind of loss that had people questioning LeBron's teammates, of course, questioning LeBron's future. Here's what LeBron had to say after the game when it came to his teammates. You know, because they were trying to set it up a little bit. And it's a fair question, because that's what everybody was talking about. They were trying to set it up as, you know, do you need more from the rest of the guys out there?
What are you guys looking for? You guys think I'm going to throw my teammates under the bus? No? I'm not about that. Guys just got to play better, including myself. I had six turnovers tonight. I was horrible in the third quarter, couldn't make a shot.
So some accountability from LeBron. And game four is tomorrow. I think the winner of game four is going to win this series. Look, the Cavs are not a great team. That's been the story all year. And in fact, they're a better team post-trade deadline than they were before the trade deadline. Like, the trade still helped them because they were miserable. Now they're just not talented enough. That's kind of all it is. I love, like, and this is not a defense of LeBron. Look, LeBron doesn't need defending. There's nothing else to be accomplished. For him, it's, there's nothing that can affect his legacy. It's only about adding to his legend at this point. There's almost nothing that could be negative. It's sealed. It's signed, sealed, delivered. I think he's the best player ever, but he's essentially inarguably top three ever. No matter what happens. So it's not about defending him. It's just about the reality of the situation. If you were listing those players and you weren't listing LeBron as part of it, like you're like, yeah, LeBron's got Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood and Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith and George Hill. Like, imagine listing those for anybody else, those players. Kevin Love doesn't have any business being the second best player on the team right now. He's had a good season. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but you don't have too much faith when he's the second best player. They really miss Kyrie Irving's ability. It would be irrelevant. I'm not talking about how it happened and how he was gone or his injury. I'm just saying from a pure basketball standpoint, they miss his ability to create off the dribble. a secondary guy who, when things break down, can make something happen. They don't have that. There's nobody else on the roster aside from LeBron who you can give the ball and say, bail us out on this possession. They don't have it. So I think the series comes down to game four. You know, can the Cavs make another adjustment? Can they take one on Indiana's home floor? They win game four. They go back to Cleveland. I would like them in game five. And then I like them with an advantage in the series. If Indiana wins game four, though, LeBron's going to suffer his first-round loss. He's never lost in the first round. In his chase for Jordan, that's one of the few things he's missing. Jordan, 3 first-round losses. LeBron, 0. He's got to get a couple first-round losses in order to catch Jordan for first-round losses. He still needs 3. Joking, obviously. Are the Cavs really going to lose this series? Are they going to lose this series? And what does this series mean for LeBron's future? Because I know immediately the speculation then goes, where's he going to be? Who's he going to play for? What team's he going to be on? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. You know, there's also a part of me that thinks the Pacers are a tougher matchup for the Cavs than even some of the better Eastern teams. So it could be a situation where if they didn't get bounced in the first round, they could still maybe run through the conference, but they might be getting bounced in the first round. Look, I can't tell you I saw that coming, but there aren't really many people outside of where in Indiana the Pacers play. Indianapolis proper. I mean, I've been to the arena. What's the surrounding part of that called? Is there something else? Is there a nickname for it? Hoosier Country, I guess. I didn't see it coming. Did you? Cavs going to lose this series? And what does this series mean for LeBron's future? 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Gilberto Molino tweets in, Jordan did lead the Bulls to the playoffs the first 3 years, unlike LeBron, who didn't make the playoffs until year 4. Well, that's also not correct. He didn't make the playoffs in the first year in Cleveland. That is for sure correct. I'm trying to remember if they made it the second. They absolutely made it by his third season. Let's see, 03, 04. This is a stupid conversation to have. 05, 06 was his first playoff, so it was the third year in Cleveland. And I was just joking, obviously, that LeBron needs to catch Jordan by losing in the first round because Jordan already has. The idea that anything that happens in this series has anything to do with LeBron Jordan is just hilarious. It shows you what a monster that debate has become. Nothing in this series could possibly affect LeBron James. This is not about him. It's about a turning of the guard, maybe. A changing of the guard in the Eastern Conference. You know, there are a couple things in sports where I don't need to be the guy to call it, right? LeBron has been to 7 straight NBA Finals. I don't need to be the guy that predicts beforehand when he's not going to get there. That doesn't have to be the one I get. Just like the Patriots, you know, with a year that they're going to fall off. I don't need to be the guy that picks the year the Patriots fall off. They've earned the benefit of the doubt. When it happens, it'll happen, and then we'll move on. And the same thing with LeBron. Perhaps we are at a changing of the guard. It makes for some exciting drama, right? Because the NBA is actually equipped to handle it now. In the past, I don't know if it was equipped to handle it. Now it's equipped to handle it with all the other stars and with great storylines, and even in the East. You know, Boston on the come up, despite the injuries. Philadelphia, maybe the story of the playoffs so far, outside of Indiana having a 2-1 lead on Cleveland after last night, which was a brutal loss for the Cavs. Question is, are they going to lose the series? What does it mean for LeBron's future? 855-212-4227 is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Jeremiah in Birmingham, Alabama? Jeremiah, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Rob, how you doing, man?
What's good, man?
I just wanted to say, man, I don't think LeBron's going to win the series. And let me just say this first. Like, I'm a LeBron hater. Like, I absolutely, like, I'm one of the biggest LeBron haters in the world. But, you know, I was just telling my wife last night, man, that I feel sorry for the guy, man. You know what I mean? Because I'm watching the game. I'm watching the series. And, like, he really just don't have no pieces. You know, he really just it's him. And if he don't score 40, 45 points a game, they really don't even have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, this is my first time ever seeing LeBron like this. You know what I mean? Well, I feel like that he don't have a chance. You know what I mean? And I hate that because – and it's crazy hearing me say that, you know, because I don't really like him. I really want him to lose. But I hate that he don't have no firepower to fight with.
You know what, Jeremiah, I give you some credit because you're able to objectively have that realization despite where your emotions might lie. So I give you some credit.
Yeah, you know, I want the man to have a fair shot. You know, he have good teams in the past, but this team right here, so I believe me, you, and three other guys can line up probably have a chance beating them in the series.
Well, look, I mean, I don't think that the series is over. Again, we'll see what happens in Game 4. I think the winner of Game 4 is going to win the series. The Cavs look like the better team. Whether or not, you know, of course they're not the better team roster spot by roster spot, but when you have LeBron, a lot of things change in your favor, right? And they look like the better team in the first half last night, to the point where I thought the series had just turned a tide. The second half was shocking when you're watching with the context of the first half. The second half of that game wasn't shocking in the context of the series through games 1 and 2. Like, if the Pacers had done what they did in the second half last night at the start of the game, I don't think that would have been shocking. The second half was shocking after the way the Cavs came out, and they really dominated that first half. Physically, defensively, they were moving. Because the Cavs' problem, of all things in this series, has been offense, which isn't what you would expect. Defense has been their issue all year. Their issue in this series has been offense. I don't think the Cavs, have they in game 2, I suppose they topped 100 points, but no, they hit 100. So the Cavs' total high in 3 games is 100 points. That's nothing for them with the way they shoot the 3-ball. That's what's been stunning. And maybe Indiana, you know, because they have the kind of team where the Cavs' biggest weakness is in the backcourt, and Indiana has the quickness in Oladipo, who's going to require the attention. And then Indiana has a couple of sort of versatile forwards in Thad Young and Bogdanovich, who have been playing well. And, you know, they have the kind of roster that gives the Cavs particular trouble. Still shocking to see that in the second half. 855-212-4227. Are the Cavs going to lose this series? What does it mean for LeBron's future? That's the other thing. You know, as great as LeBron is, and I think he's the best player ever, he is in year 15, right? He had a great, unbelievable year, all things considered. And that's amazing in and of itself. But you can't really count on that going forward. I mean, it's tough to sustain that level of play. So can you really count on that? And because he's the kind of player who most things run through, it's not so easy to just pick the spot that makes the most sense for him. Because I don't know if there is a spot that makes total sense for him, all things considered. How about Alan in Toronto? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Alan?
If I was an editor of a newspaper, it would be in bold capital letters. LeBron James is facing his greatest challenge. Is he up to the task? Sure he is, but he's not going to get it as a gift. They're going to have to earn it. You know, the definition of a superstar is make those around him better, and that he defines that definition of a superstar. But you have to keep in mind, no man is an island. Every superstar needs help and plenty of it. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest player in the world. No man is an island. No coach is an island either. You could be Popovich, Phil Jackson, George Karl, they're not islands either. You know, they can only deal with the hand that they dealt with.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to want to leave Ohio because his Ohio blood is going to I mean, I don't think he's going to want to leave Cleveland because there's a lot of blood that's going to boil over. He's from Ohio, and
well, he did it before.
It's darnest.
He did leave before.
Yeah, he did leave before. Okay, perhaps the New York Knickerbockers, Knicks. He may want to go there because you know that's the top of the heap. You know, that's the that center of the universe, and he may want to be the one that leads him to the promised land.
You know, that always sounds good. The guy that can turn the Knicks around. There's a couple of problems. The Knicks don't have the ability to just take in LeBron James, and he's not going to go there because he knows the organization's a joke. So that's kind of out the door.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter, 855-212-4227 on the phone. Cavs really going to lose to the Pacers? What does it mean for LeBron's future? 855-212-4227. B-Dog 1246 tweets in, LeBron does have blame because he has a say in construction of the team. First of all, whether or not LeBron has any blame for anything is a different question or topic than whether it has any effect on his career, right? LeBron himself called out his play in the third quarter last night. So one could say, I blame LeBron partially for the Cavs blowing the lead because he had such a poor third quarter, and that would be a fair statement. That doesn't change anything about his career, though. There's nothing that can happen in this series that will have any impact on LeBron's career, except for in the positive, really. Again, his legacy cannot be affected. His legend can grow. Now, on the thing about the construction of the team, I kind of have to just, like, clear things up here because there's the truth. There's what people root for. There's what people want to be. And there's, like, what we get close to the objective truth. I'm not in their front office, so I don't know for sure. And I would never tell you that they didn't run things by LeBron in the past. But to act like LeBron is the GM is stupid. It was always stupid. But it's even more stupid this season, saying he had a hand in the construction of the team. Because we know for sure he didn't, almost, this time around. David Griffin was the GM of the Cavs. LeBron and David Griffin, from all accounts, including Griffin's, had a good relationship. And Griffin would go to LeBron and tell him what he was thinking and get the feedback and all that. LeBron publicly vouched for David Griffin. Do you know what happened to David Griffin? He's gone. He's not there anymore. He was not brought back over the summer. LeBron said something about that on Twitter, how he wasn't happy. So it's hard for me to reckon with the idea that he is running the team when they got rid of the guy he vouched for who was running the team. Then, if you follow the reporting, it has been said that the Cavs purposely didn't involve LeBron in any of their decisions over the summer. Whether or not you want to believe the sources or who's planting certain stories, LeBron apparently was against trading Kyrie Irving. Said, bring him to camp. And then again was against it when they got the results of Isaiah Thomas's physical. When they made the trade at the deadline, which I think was a good trade, all things considered, after what had gone down, Kobe Altman, the new GM, went to LeBron the night before and told him he might be making some trades. So the idea that LeBron is pulling some strings and bringing guys in is just false. It's just not true. Cody Jenkins tweets in, the legend Embiid dominating even more with his mask and will lead the Sixers to the finals. Philly Unite. And that allows me to touch on two topics. Well, actually three. One, you're dealing with who's going to win the East this year. And when it comes to top flight talent, nobody has more than Philadelphia. Right? I think if I'm picking teams that can win the East, I think Philadelphia, Toronto, and Cleveland are the teams I think can win the East. Toronto was the number one seed, so you have to give them some sort of credit. They had the best bench in the league. They improved their roster, but I, like most other people, are in a bit of a you got to prove it to me phase because of some of their struggles in the playoffs before, because head-to-head against the Cavs, at least, or LeBron, at least, they've flailed. And then losing last night to Washington didn't help their case tremendously. I still think the Cavs can win the Eastern Conference. I think Indiana is a really tough matchup for them specifically. And let's say they were playing Philadelphia head-to-head. Who does Embiid guard? Right? If you're starting Love, LeBron, Korver, JR, and Hill. But just top flight talent, Philadelphia is the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid together is very close to already the top tandem in the league. Curry and Durant, Harden and Paul. I don't know if I can do any more before I get to Simmons and Embiid. That is a monstrous tandem, you know, on both ends. Because they, Embiid, what he gives them is the ability to manufacture baskets. Simmons can't do that yet. Simmons, by the way, who I love, Simmons is to LeBron as Kobe was to Jordan. You know, the first guy who has the ability and has patterned the game in that way. But Simmons can't create his own shot yet, doesn't have that jumper yet. So they need somebody who can manufacture buckets. That's Embiid. Embiid can manufacture buckets. Simmons lifts everybody else up because you can put Simmons on the floor with four shooters and it's lights out. Defensively, Embiid provides backline defense. And Simmons, what's really incredible about him is that not only at 6'10 is he a point guard, but we've seen guys 6'10 handle the ball and play point guard before. He can guard point guards. That's what's amazing to me at 6'10, more so than almost anything else, is that he has the foot speed defensively to guard there. So that Philadelphia topic brings up a few things. Who's going to win the East? The talent level that Philadelphia has, how they're, I think, the best story maybe going in the playoffs because everybody's familiar with how they got there, and LeBron's future a little bit because I know the Sixers have been thrown around as a possible landing spot. I don't like LeBron in Philly. I don't think that makes sense because it takes the ball out of Simmons' hands. Like, it's very interesting the Sixers have gotten here. I'd like to see that continue, keep building, keep going, see it pay off that way. And I didn't even mention Dario Saric, who's been awesome for them in this postseason, is perfect complimentary guy to both Simmons and Embiid. LeBron goes there. I don't love that because we don't get to see the story develop the way it was. And I don't know if he and Simmons are complimentary because Simmons has done everything he can to play like LeBron. And that's the real pickle to the whole Cavs situation if they actually get eliminated and we're talking about LeBron's future. As great as LeBron is, and I think he's the best ever, there's not a natural fit. There's not a perfect fit for him. Given his age, given his style of play, and given the cap space situations for other teams. Like, part of me thought, all right, San Antonio, Pop and LeBron, one last ride. That would be cool. But the Spurs might not have the cap space, or I don't believe have the cap space because of Gasol and Aldridge's contract. And they don't really have dribble-penetrating guards, and the Cavs are missing that right now. Philadelphia, I just told you I don't love that. They have the space. That leaves Houston, which I guess makes some sense, especially if they were to lose to, say, Golden State this year. And L.A., who aren't quite in that position yet, but do have the money to offer. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. Dan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Dan?
What's up, Robin?
How are you, man?
Hey, listen, real quick, I hope Brad Stevens teaches his players a little of the basics. I don't know how many times they were blocked last night, but it seemed like 12 times or something. A little up and under, a little ball fakes or something. It was pitiful. But as LeBron's going, he's leaving. He's going somewhere, but he's not going to go to a team that he'll be surrounded by above-average role players. So I don't know exactly where he's going to end up. I mean, L.A. with George, if goes with him, that would be awesome. Other than that, Philly's a horrible idea. did have three stars on one team, that there'd be no room for that. So I agree with you on that. So I have no idea where he's going. But Boston needs to step it up a little bit more. That game last night was horrible.
It was a bad game, but it's hard for me, Dan, to say they need to step it up just because they're so far behind the eight ball roster-wise now that they already kind of overachieved. No, I mean, when you have Irving and Hayward out, what are they supposed to do? I mean, I feel like being up 2-1 in that series is a good thing for them, no?
Yeah, well, maybe it was an anomaly on Milwaukee's part. They shot, you know, lights out. I was watching the highlights this morning, and then I was thinking, oh, they're going to make a comeback. They're going to drive in and jam it or whatever. And it was like they couldn't get through. It was like you should have learned after the first five blocks. You're not going to get through that team like that, right? You know, pass it out. Up fake. Jeez.
Well, I mean, look, the Celtics are doing it on coaching. They're doing it, you know, with some young guys who need to gain experience in Brown and Tatum and Rozier, those guys. I mean, the Celtics still have some talent on that roster. All those guys I just named are good players and going to be good players for a long time. But they're missing their best player. They're missing their prize free agent acquisition. So eventually the talent deficit does become apparent. At least it's not a deficit because they're not at a talent deficit to Milwaukee. But the talent drop-off for them internally becomes an issue. And it's going to be hard for them to create an offense without Kyrie. It just is. The Bucks are not a very good team. And they got game three there. Maybe they'll make it a series. I don't think either of those teams stands any chance in the Eastern Conference throughout the course of it, in the long run of it. I'll still take Boston to win that series because I'll trust Stevens' coaching. And I don't think actually their roster is worse than Milwaukee's. Milwaukee has the best player in the series, of course, in Giannis. But it doesn't just work like that, especially now. You know, I know a lot of people say whichever team has the best player tends to win. That's not even true. I don't know. Somebody's got to go back and fact check that. Secondly, especially now with the three-point shot, it's very difficult for one player to beat an entire team when that other team is trading threes for twos half the time with the rate that threes are taken. But I actually like the Celtics roster overall better than the Bucks roster right now, even with the injuries, because Rozier has proven himself to be a guy on the come up. Brown is a very good young player. Tatum is an excellent rookie at 6'8", and Al Horford's a proven player. But the Celtics definitely aren't good without Kyrie, especially offensively. So that's a fun series to watch. I don't think who wins matters. The other things to watch are you've got the Jazz and the Thunder. That series is in real doubt as to who's going to win. That's tonight. And then there's the Pelicans and the Blazers, with the Pelicans being up 3-0. I didn't see Indiana being up 2-1 over Cleveland coming. I did see the Pelicans beating the Blazers. That's the one upset pick I made in the first round. I think the Blazers overachieved. And the Pelicans are playing really well. And that's interesting because they're going to play Golden State. And Curry was back to some workouts yesterday. We'll see where he is. But New Orleans could be dangerous against Golden State if Curry's not 100%. I still think the Warriors, if they're at 100%, nobody can beat them. They have a stacked team at the top. But if Curry's not at 100%, the Pelicans have a really intriguing backcourt. They've got Holiday and Rondo. Rondo, think about his career arc. It was very high. He was like the playoff clutch performer as a young guy with the Celtics and an all-star and all that. Then it went into the tubes, especially after his tenure in Dallas. And now he could bring it back up a little bit with his performance with New Orleans. He's been locked in this postseason and guarding defensively, controlling some things offensively. Jrue Holiday is playing like a star. You know, he's an awesome defensive player and a pretty good creator offensively. And then Anthony Davis is the best big man in the league and is now shifted to his natural position at center. You know, DeMarcus Cousins going out has really helped the Pelicans, because it allows Davis to play his natural position at center. It allows for more space, more pace for them offensively, that they're spreading the floor, which lets Holiday playmake. if Cousins was there, Holiday wouldn't be able to play make. He'd be dumping the ball into him. And defensively, they can't be exposed by putting Cousins, let's say, in the high pick and roll and making him move in space. So they've got two guards who are long and play great defense in Holiday and Rondo. They've got Davis in the middle, and they've got Mirotic, who's been a nice fit for them as that stretch four. Going into a matchup with Golden State, I don't know if there's a backcourt better equipped to play defense against the Warriors than the Pelicans have, those guys I just mentioned. And who do the Warriors have that's going to be able to handle Anthony Davis? You kind of might have to throw, I mean, Draymond and Durant, those are the two guys. Can Draymond keep him off the boards? If he can, he deserves a medal. And Durant, do you really want him guarding Davis, considering what you need from him offensively? This is all under the assumption that Steph's not 100%. We'll see how many games Steph is able to play in the second round if he's able to get back. But then there's a difference between just being back and being back at full strength. So we'll see where Steph is. That I never would have thought in a million years Pelicans-Warriors could be an interesting series. But right now it's looking like an interesting series, and it's looking like a collision course because both of those teams are up 3-0 in their respective series. It's almost a certainty they will be playing in round two of the NBA playoffs. So that's the NBA playoff breakdown. What a brutal loss for the Cavs last night. Up 17. It really looked like they had taken control of the series. And now they're down 2-1, and LeBron in real jeopardy of losing in the first round for the first time. They play tomorrow. Laid out the schedule of the NBA playoffs. What about the NFL schedule? The NFL schedule, that's always funny to me. It's always funny to me the way the hype is attempted to be generated for the NFL schedule. Because personally, it does absolutely nothing for me. Knowing who's going to play in September in April does nothing for me. Going to get to that and going to compare the NFL draft to another hotly anticipated event. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.